Chapter 25. Now Yeshua, son of Gamaliel, who had been present in that same council, who was my friend and associate, divulged these matters to my father, saying indeed that an army was on its way to the region, but could not clarify the reason, as my enemies had conducted to take their counsels in secret. After my father wrote to me about this, I was deeply distressed, for I realized that it was because of envy that the citizens had become so ungrateful to me to the point that they would order me to be done away with. So my father kept earnestly requesting me in his documents to come to him, for he longed to behold his son before he passed away. I told my friends about these things, and that in 3 days I would leave their country behind in order to go to my fatherland. Now sorrow gripped everyone who heard this, and with tears they kept beseeching me not to abandon them to the ruin which awaited them if I were deprived of my generalship. But I did not consent to their supplications. Instead, I was concerned for my own salvation. So the Galileans, growing anxious that my departure would leave them an easy prey for the brigands, sent men throughout all Galilee to signal my intended escape. But once they had also heard about this, many gathered from every place, along with their women and children. It seemed that they did this not so much out of their affection for me, but out of anxiety for themselves. For they assumed that as long as I remained, they would suffer no evil. Therefore, they all came into the great plain where I was living, which is named Shechem. But that night, I beheld a wonderful dream. For when I had retired to bed, sorrowful and disturbed by what had been written to me, a certain individual appeared standing over me and said,
"Oh, suffering one, cease from sorrowing in your soul, but let go of all fear. For what now sorrows you will produce greatness and good fortune in every respect. Now you will set straight not only these matters, but instead many others as well. Do not exhaust yourself, but remember that you must also make war with the Romans."
But after I had seen this dream, I got up, ready to descend into the plain. Now at my appearance, the whole multitude of Galileans, which included both women and little ones, threw themselves on their faces and with tears pleaded for me not to abandon them to their foes, nor to depart and permit their country to become a victim of outrage to their enemies. But when I was not persuaded by their requests, they kept trying with oaths to coerce me into staying with them. They also bitterly inveighed against the Jerusalemite populace for not allowing their country to remain in peace. And as I listened to these things and saw the despondency of the multitude, I was moved with compassion. I considered it worthwhile to endure even the obvious dangers for the sake of such a vast multitude. So I consented to remain with them. And after I had directed that 5,000 heavy-armed soldiers from among them were to join me, bringing with them their own food supplies, I dismissed the rest to their homes. Now when those 5,000 arrived, I drew them up together with the 3,000 infantry already with me and 80 cavalry, and marched to Kabul, a village situated on the frontiers of Ptolemais. There, I kept my forces together, feigning to be making preparations for a war with Plakidos. Now this man had been sent by Kestios Gallos with 2 cohorts of infantry and 1 swarm of cavalry to burn the Galilean villages near Ptolemais. While he was throwing up a palisade in front of the city of Ptolemais, I made an encampment about 60 stadia from the village. Therefore, we indeed frequently let out our forces as if going into a battle, but did nothing more than fire some projectiles. For as soon as Plakidos understood that I was eager for a battle, he was intimidated and declined it. However, he did not withdraw from Ptolemais itself.